What is going on, West family, aka the best family, and welcome to episode 3 of Flip the Switch. I just flip the switch. Again, this series, Zid Podcast, is to provide motivation and guidance to individuals out there like you and me that are people of color, first generation minorities that didn't really have that guidance growing up or people they can turn to. And that is what we are trying to achieve here today, whether it be to the college applications, internships, the professional academic world. We are here to help. And essentially, the whole idea and goal here is to take your work ethic to the next level and share advice and stories for you to flip the switch. Today's episode is very, very special. We have our first guest who was a Twitter intern who is now there full time. And we are just going to share our stories of the whole internship application process, little advice that we can give. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and bring on our guest for today's show. All right, y'all, welcome, man. Without further ado, our first ever guest. How does it feel to be the first guest on this episode, on this series, man? Just tell me that.
Dude, first of all, appreciate you having me, and I'm honored to be the first guest. Honestly, this is, it's a pretty good feeling, dude. It feels awesome. I listened to the first two episodes, and I love what you're trying to do with this whole flip the switch mentality and kind of getting everyone on board and honestly just helping like the community at the same time, right? So
100%.
Honestly, a huge, you know, big thank you to you for having me, and I'm kind of ready to kind of let everyone know the little ins and outs of internship stuff, dude, and kind of
exactly as you guys know, we're talking about internships, and it's only right that I got so first of all, my bad. Go ahead and introduce yourself, and then I'm gonna get into our background story. But go ahead and introduce yourself. You're good.
So my name is Salman Butt. I'm from New York. Went to St. John's University in Queens. Graduated in 2019. Hey. And I've been full-time at Twitter for almost a year now. So quick like background on myself. Like, you know, middle-class family. First one to graduate. You know, so kind of what you were talking about in your other episodes is like navigating that whole world. It's new. It's different. It's hard. 100%. And it brings new perspectives. So that's like the quick little backdrop on me.
Perfect. So guys, I met Salman when we were in San Francisco when I was at first year law school at Hastings. I met him, was that like after a Jummah or something like that, right? It was after a Jummah.
It was during a Jummah, yeah.
And this dude comes up to me, he's like, "Hey man, I'm an intern at Twitter. If you wanna come check out the offices." I was like, "Oh bro, say less." I was like, say less. So this guy was at the time when I was there, we were about the SF, he was interning at Twitter. And now, as he just mentioned, he's there full time. And we were talking, literally, we were on like a rooftop and we're just talking about the whole internship process. Like, this guy's the one who made me basically start my LinkedIn. Do you remember that, dude?
I do remember that, dude. I was like, dude, hop on LinkedIn. I remember you were getting ready for like your journey for like kind of, I remember you were saying you want to apply different schools, you have like all these like aspirations that you were trying to hit. I'm like, dude, LinkedIn's the move. You got to do that first. And I remember we were building that out.
100%. So we're just going to go ahead and just talk about our stories. You're going to tell your story. I'm going to tell my story about the whole application process. But basically, okay, everybody knows now you are a Twitter intern. Yep. And that is not an easy feat to accomplish. It is probably one of the hardest things to do, especially at these big tech companies, especially a company like Twitter. But take us through the application process. Like, how did that work?
Definitely.
And how'd you do it? Where'd you find it?
So it's tough. It's a long journey, honestly. When I started off at school, I honestly started off as I want to go into med. I was like, I want to become a doctor, blah, blah, blah. 3 days in, I'm like, I can't do chem. This sucks. Like, I'm not about this life. I wasn't built for it. Like, this is not what I like. So I ended up switching my major to finance, and I was like, all right, what am I going to do with this? When people think finance, like, oh, I'm going to go into banking, right? Like, you're just going to be a bank and go to Wall Street, blah, blah, blah. I had an internship at a bank. I honestly did not like it. Culture was very like uptight, you know, like you can't really be yourself. And at the end of my sophomore year, I was like, let me move into tech. You know, this seems like a really cool field. There's a lot of stuff to do here. And I was like, I really want to work at Twitter. And the reason was I use a platform heavily. I thought it was a cool platform. There's a lot that goes on there. But the other thing was I checked out their career site and I watched the videos of the interns, and dude, the internship looked awesome. Like the way they kind of, the stuff they do, I was like, this looks like a lot of fun. I get to go to Cali for 3 months. Like I need to get in. So I applied cold, right? Kind of the way most people do is like, you'll go on their career site, you'll see the summer internship or spring or winter. Threw in an application, I think it was for the fall time. So let me see what happens. Never heard back. I'm like, okay, maybe it's just because it's fall time, so it's hard. I was like, let me apply again. So that I'm in my junior year right now.
So first you applied sophomore
year? I applied sophomore year. Yep, and I took an L. I was like, all right, this isn't, I didn't get it. And my understanding is like, you know what, I'm too young right now, maybe I need more experience. right? Maybe I just gotta wait a little. So I waited till junior year. I was like, let me apply again for their winter time. Nothing. And I was like, okay.
Oh, so wait.
I applied like
you
twice.
Applied again. So now you applied again when you were junior during the winter time?
Yeah, so they have like winter internships also, like a winternship.
Oh, man.
Right? So during my end of sophomore year and in between the junior year time, I started to realize like this cold applying is not working. I need to figure out how can I finesse, like I need to figure out a different path. Like how can I get into this place? And this is the kind of mentality you're talking about. It's like flip the switch, right? You need to figure out a new way to kind of get yourself in. And one thing that kept coming at me is like, oh, all these kids who go to MIT, who go to NYU, who go to all these top tier schools, they're getting it. I'm not gonna be able to get in. I'm like, nah, I can't think that way. That's wrong. Because you're unique in your own way and you have to kind of build your way to try to get in. So I was like, let me see, what can I do different? And then I started, you know, digging in on their website, and they had these events that go on, right? So these are like small little events that you apply for. It's held by university recruiting. And it was like for Black History Month. So they had speakers and they had a bunch of students that they invited. So I applied for this, you know, little 2-hour event. And I kept going to these events. So I got into a couple of them, started meeting people more often.
So these events were in New York area,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
That's where how did you find these events?
Right. So I'm going to backtrack now. So during my sophomore year, one thing that I started to figure out was, you know, like, it's hard to get into these top tier companies without having a network. Like if you cold apply, maybe you'll hear back, but it's going to be hard. Just like you were saying, getting into like Google, Facebook, right? Even top tier law firms, marketing firms, whatever it may be, it's not easy. There's a lot of applicants, right? So you kind of get drowned out. So I turned to kind of LinkedIn. I was like, let me figure out a way. What did people do differently that I can do?
Yeah.
So you're kind of stalking profiles in a way, right? So if people who are listening, if you do end up doing this, make sure you turn yourself to like not like private, I think it's what it's called, right?
Private mode. Yeah, private mode.
That is key.
Yeah.
That is key. Right. So you go to private. Yeah. So the first thing that I did was let me look at my you know, St. John's circle of like LinkedIn people. So I started looking up like what events did they attend? Some person attended a Goldman Sachs like virtual series. What is that? Let me look into it. Mm-hmm. Ah, it's a whole program. I apply for it. I ended up getting in, right? Then you start building your resume slowly. So there's like these little programs that people attend or even certifications that people do, right? And I started to see that people are doing small things on the side to kind of build their profile. Mm-hmm. So I kept looking at different people's profiles. And then I went outside of St. John's. I looked at people from Harvard, right? Look up people from anywhere.
And what grade were you in? What grade are you at this time? You're a junior? You're in junior year?
This is end of sophomore year. So almost
end of sophomore year.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So this is towards the end where I'm trying to realize I got to build a profile. I got to attend these events.
Okay.
So into my summer of sophomore year, I found like two events. One was like a Bloomberg externship, applied for those. And I ended up getting into those, kind of got some cool insights. But that was me building my resume. Mm-hmm. So it was just me honestly just stalking profiles, right? You look up people, you're like, what's this person doing? How did they get to where they are now?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you understand that they slowly built their way there. And that's when I started to realize, like, I got to build my way there. Like, you got to create your own path and start to understand, like, this is a lot of experience. So once I started going to a lot of these programs, I started building my profile and kind of like my resume, I was like, all right, let me start networking with people at Twitter. And that's when I started attending these small little events that they held, right? So only reason I knew about these events was because I knew other companies have small events. So you go to the profile of the company, go to their career site, and you'll start finding small events that they hold. And I'm assuming right now these events are probably going to be virtual because of quarantine and whatnot. So it makes it honestly easier to network in a way, right? If they're going to hold these virtual events. So I ended up going to Twitter. I was like, let me see what's going on. I probably attended two events. Didn't really have much luck. I met people, and this is early in my junior year, in the fall semester. Met two people. I was like, I need to get in. And then there was a third event happening in February. It was for Black History Month. I think it was like February, March time. And I was really close to not going. This was their last event, and I was like, I'm tired. Oh, I don't feel like going. It's winter. It's snowing here in New York. Dude, winter sucks. It's cold. I was like, I don't want to go. Last minute, man. I was like, you know what? Let me go. I ended up going. Bunch of students, dude. A lot of, probably 150 students there. They had a speaker series set up. And then after that, you network. And I saw people from all over. NYU, like people came from like MIT. Like people came out for the event. I'm like, this is pretty cool, but it's also intimidating. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I met an engineer. He's like, oh, what are you trying to do? I'm like, I'm in finance, trying to find an internship on the finance team, really want to come. He introduced me to someone who's an MBA intern on the finance team. And she was the one person who put my resume down in front of the manager. So because of her, that one person that I met at this event that I wasn't going to go to, right? I was able to get, I got an interview because of her.
And she was an intern at that time?
She was an intern, which even makes the story crazier, right? She's not even full-time yet. She's an intern. Wow. So she was like, she was an MBA intern from Columbia. And she's like, yeah, you know, I interned on the team last summer. I'm sure, you know, like I can throw my resume, I can throw your resume down for you and kind of see what happens. I'm like, yeah, sure. So she's like, give me your email. Just, you know, shoot me a quick little blurt about yourself, this and that. So after the event, I'm like, ah, cool. I met someone. Hopefully this works out. Couple days go by and I just didn't email her. I was like, ah, I don't know if it's worth it, blah, blah, blah. It was just that mindset where I'm like, you know, I don't know. There's a bunch of kids. It's intimidating, right? You kind of go through this syndrome where you're like, am I good enough? Am I not good enough? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? Let me send her a resume. What's the worst that can happen? Right? The worst thing that can happen is you don't hear back. So what? Send her my resume. Mm-hmm. She's like, ah, thank you. I'll forward it, blah, blah, blah. Couple, probably a month goes by. I'm like, ah, nothing. And then it's like end of March.
So you followed up, but did you follow up with her via email?
No, I didn't.
So you waited a whole So you waited a whole month?
I waited a whole month, and that's actually a really good point you brought up. Is make sure.
And did you send the resume? So you sent the resume a month later?
No, I sent her my resume like 2-3 days after. But I waited. I waited a month until I actually heard back.
Okay, gotcha. So in March, okay.
Yeah, so like end of March comes, and I get an email from a recruiter. She's like, hey, like, we'd love to, like, interview you. You know, I'm a recruiter for, like, the non-tech kids at Twitter. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, this is it. I'm like, this is my chance. I'm like, I think, and this at this time, I didn't realize, like, her putting the resume in front of the manager was the reason why I got the interview. I found that out probably during the internship.
Okay.
So I got the interview, this and that, and then that's when I realized, like, oh, my foot's in the door. Like, this is my opportunity to execute. And it was just a matter
of... So how did you find out that she put your resume in the front door of the recruiter? Like, how'd you find that out?
So when I got the internship after the whole interview process, I was talking to my manager, and he's like, yeah, you know, she put my resume down in front of... she put your resume down in front of my desk. And I was like, shoot. I'm like, she physically, like, put the resume down. And then I remember a couple after, my resume was, like, on his desk. I was kind of peeking over. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, this is legit. Like, I got this interview and the internship because of her. Like, if I didn't go to that event, I probably would... You and I probably wouldn't be talking, right? I wouldn't
That's crazy. Twitter, literally. That's so crazy. Literally.
It was and all we
wouldn't
of
be,
that one
Now
person.
We wouldn't be telling this whole story. So, okay, wait. So, did you... How was the interview process? Like, when you were interviewing, like, how did that go?
So kind of after that whole journey of, like, me attending these small events, I finally got my foot in the door, which is probably the hardest step, right? The next step in this is just executing. So the interview process, the first round was just a quick call, a 30-minute call with the manager. And I was freaking out. I was like, oh, God, I can't mess this up. Like, you know, I gotta execute perfectly on this. So I prepared, you know, like, kind of... for non-tech interviews for finance. I just looked up stuff on Glassdoor, which has great interview tips. Dude, and it was a conversation, like kind of like what we're having, just like a straight convo. And I was like, okay, this is different. Like, this isn't like your ordinary interview. He was just asking about me, like, oh, like, where do you go to school? What do you kind of do? Like, what do you want to look for in the internship? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, cool. I'm like, this was an easy convo. And at the end of the convo, he's like, yeah, I'll move you up to the second round. I was like, okay, like this works.
Oh,
works
wow.
with me. So my recruiter reached out again, and she's like, hey, this is like the second round is the last one for non-tech kids. So she's like, we're just gonna have 2 45-minute video calls. So that was kind of intimidating, right? So you're meeting with the people of the team. So my first call was with 3 people on the team, and my second call was with the other 2 people. And it was a little more intimidating, where they're kind of asking a little tougher questions, right? More finance related. Yeah. Your experience was huge. Like, I saw you did X. I saw you did Y. Can you talk more about it? Can you get into the details of it? Right. So those little events I was telling you about, right? Those, that externship, that virtual series that I attended, they were actually talking about those. Right. So they looked at those experiences.
Okay, so remind us again for those that probably didn't get it. So how did you found those opportunities, those externships, those virtual things all through LinkedIn and online?
So the first thing I did was LinkedIn. Check your inner circle, right?
Gotcha.
People who go to your school, people who are outside of your school, people who go to top tier schools. Look at their profiles. Yeah. See what they've done in the past. What have they attended? What certifications do they have, right? Like, did they do some sort of like training? There's things called externships, I was just saying, right? Did they go to those? And then you start learning, like, oh, like, let me look these up. And a lot of companies have these small little programs that you could attend.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So guys, like 100% no, I feel that, because bro, like you said, you did all this upfront research and preparation. Because I feel like, look, the hardest thing is getting your foot in the door. Because I feel like people like you and me or whoever else out there, like we're able to do well in an interview. Like, yeah, we'll be nervous, but we're able to have a conversation and talk and like just let your experiences speak for themselves and your personality, right? But the hardest thing is getting that opportunity to even have the interview. So basically what you did was like that whole prep. Like I feel like 90% of it is the prep and the research and the networking to get yourself even into that interview, and then 10% you let you take over.
Exactly. And dude, it's the same thing you were talking about in your last episode, right? Like the UCLA story, where you took that next step, right, to talk to the dean, right? So you do these small things and they'll add up and they'll help you get through. And that's exactly 100%. What you're talking about. It's like you flip the switch there, right? You're changing your mentality. 100%. Like, I need a new path to get in, and this is what I'm going to do to get there. So you're setting yourself
up. A lot of the times the traditional route just doesn't cut it. Nope. Especially for people like us that like growing up, whether it be first generation or minorities, like we don't have these connections from the outset. Like we don't have our dads or friends that are like working at these companies that can put in a word for you. Like we have to go and make those connections ourselves, and that's exactly what you did. So that's crazy.
That's the big thing. And that's a big point that you made, is like we don't have these connections, and you start to realize that when you're in college, is like you'll meet all these people and you're like, oh, my dad is he's a VP of this, he's there, he's that, and that can take a toll on yourself, because then you start comparing yourself, which is the wrong thing to do. Don't compare yourself to others. Just realize that, hey, I'm different. I need to set myself up to a higher bar and understand that I need to do something 100%. Differently. You're unique in your own way, 100%. Right? And you will figure out that path to how to get to like the next level.
So I didn't start using LinkedIn. Like I was telling him, like, he's the one who basically got me on. When I was in grad school, when I was in professionals, I was in law school my first year. That's when I decided, okay, you know what? Let me try LinkedIn let me try this networking thing that Salman was talking about and all this type of stuff. So basically, but here's the thing. It's never too late, even if you're done with undergrad, to not start networking. Like networking is key no matter what stage in life you are. But basically, the reason why I didn't start LinkedIn, because I took advantage. I went to USC, right? I like, even though I wasn't on LinkedIn, I was taking advantage of the resources like crazy. Like there was this instance too. I was a political science major. There was this political institute that headed all these internships and all these type of things that they connect you with these type of people. They match you with these type of people. So I was legit in their office. I was making relationships with them. I was became like best friends with them. Like they, whenever they had like the next best internship, they thought, oh, Waji, let me give this to him.
Yep.
So basically, like, even though I wasn't using LinkedIn during that time, I was using my school's resources and I was making connections within the school, because that's another thing that a lot of people don't use.
So big.
A lot of people do not use the resources at their school, especially if you're at a private institution. I feel like that is one of the main advantages. Yeah. Like they have so many resources. And if you're paying, if you're taking out loans or whatever it is, like take advantage of those resources. 1,000%.
Yeah. That's a big point.
So dude, let me tell you about, now let me tell you
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I need to hear your journey.
Because it was with you. No, it was with you when I was trying to apply for summer internships for when I was in 1L, right? My first year at law school. So that's when I just started getting into, because I realized that the career office just wasn't as helpful as it could be, right? So that's what it comes down to. Again, flip the switch. Take matters into your own hands and make your own connections. Don't rely on others to basically food spin you or things like that, or let opportunities come about. You go ahead and make those opportunities like we talked about. So, bro, I made a LinkedIn. I started reaching out to people. I started researching all these, all the companies that I wanted to apply to, the legal internships. I made a whole, did you ever make an Excel sheet, or did you ever get that organized?
I got pretty organized. Same thing.
So that's what I'm saying. You guys got to take, like, finding a job or finding an internship is a job in it of itself.
It's, dude.
Dude, it's networking and finding internship, finding a job is a job in it of itself. Like, it could straight up be treated as a 9-to-5, because it is a lot of work that you got to put up front that a lot of people don't do.
Yeah, it's really tiring. 100%.
So, dude, I was researching all these places. I was looking at people if I know anybody that works there, if they're like alums that work there, that I can reach out to them. Hey, I want to know your experience. Like, you just reach out, cold email them, yeah. Trying to find the email, be like, hey, I'm interested in XYZ. I would just love to know your experiences and hear about it or whatever it may be, right? So, dude, I had a whole Excel sheet. I had literally 50 companies, I applied to.
Yeah.
Bro, it was like Disney, it was like Facebook, it was all these top tier companies, right? Yep. And like you said, like if you're at a school, like a tier two school, or maybe you have all these like tier ones that are just like applying for these internships, so yeah. You're kind of like getting watered out. So basically, bro, my route was a little different than yours because yeah. You eventually ended up getting it, right. Which is amazing. Like yours actually worked. Because yeah. the thing is, though, you went to those events. You right. Put yourself out there.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You put yourself out there. So that's another thing, you got to take a step further, right?
Right.
So with me, bro, I was reaching out to people. I was applying. I even applied to Twitter. I was making connections. I was trying to make connections at Twitter, like within that. The legal teams. Yeah. And you remember that, dude?
I remember that.
But I couldn't find anyone legal. Like, yeah. It's so hard, it's not bro. Easy. So literally, I think I even had someone put my resume within the recruiting thing.
Yeah.
But the department of legal, I didn't have anybody within the legal division. Yeah, I didn't have anyone in legal to like kind of vouch for me. I didn't have anyone in legal to kind of like put your eyes on it. Like you yeah. Had someone specific.
I did. Yeah.
In the finance intern, MBA intern. With me, it was just, I didn't have that. I just had people that were not in that legal space. So, dude, I literally, rejections after rejections. Yeah. I kept getting, sometimes, a lot of times, you don't even get any responses from these yeah. places because they don't have the time to respond yeah. to you. So, you just keep applying. I even talked about this in my last episode. Like, I had something set up in New York. I had an interview. I thought I had it set in stone. It was A&E Networks, right?
Yeah.
I thought I had it set in stone. Nope, it didn't end up working out. Literally rejection after rejection. I'm like, dude, what the hell am I gonna do?
Yeah.
But basically, I even explained this in my last episode. Like, I reached out to another mentor. Guys, take advantage of finding mentors. Make connections. So I reached out to a mentor who then put my resume in front of like this career center or office's place, who then found this opportunity and they're like, oh, this guy, let me go ahead and give this to this guy first. Then my resume went to him, and then that guy was impressed from there. As soon as you see the resume and they get that to your desk and your cover letters and whatnot, then you're in the door. And then from there, I got my internship. And from there, I met the guy who told me to apply to Duke from there. So, guys, like all these rejections, it sucked in the moment. But then I was like, you know what? It ended up working out for a reason. Like yeah. all, even with you,
yeah.
you tried twice. You tried twice, literally.
I remember.
You took L's twice, yeah. but you didn't give up, and you tried again, and you exactly. tried to do something different this time.
Exactly, and okay. dude, rejections are a part of the process, right? Like
1,000%.
You're gonna, like you said, you applied probably like 50 companies set up. Same thing
so
with
many.
Same, and I think a lot of people go through this is when you're applying for internships, don't set yourself to just like 5 companies. You're gonna end up hurting yourself at the end. Apply to every place, and like you said, it's a 9-to-5 job. Applying to places is a 9-to-5 job. Apply to like 100 companies in your sophomore year, junior year. Just keep applying and don't stop. Out of those 100, if you apply to 100, you'll probably hear back from 10. Out of those 10, you'll probably get 2 interviews. But that one interview that you get could be it, right? And it could change your whole life.
And it all comes down to researching. Like yeah. you research these events. I research what application internships are available. You research these sites. Like you literally 90% of it is preparation, prep, yep. and research. And that is, a lot of people just don't do that, dude. A lot of people don't do that. A lot yeah. of people don't realize to do that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And another piece of advice that I have is, say for example, you're researching these companies, what they do, which is really yeah. big. But you also want to make a name, and you like what you were doing is like physically networking, right? Like actually talking yeah. to people, which is really big. So at the end of my internship, my manager, I asked her, you know, like, why'd you choose me? Right? Because there was a couple other people.
Oh, you asked her?
I asked her, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
I was like,
what'd you say?
And this is my last day of my internship, our last one-on-one. And there was 2 people in front Damn. Of me who were interviewing. And she's like, there was one reason why I chose you. It's like, not because of your skill set, this and that. I'm like, oh, interesting. Like, what was the reason? She's like, it's because you went out of your way to talk to other people at the company. And I was like, whoa.
Bro, literally. Full circle. Oh, see that.
Full circle.
Dude. That is what people have to realize. Like, literally, she just told you why she took you in.
Exactly.
And it wasn't because of what was, part of it was probably, it wasn't really all what was on your resume. It was because you went out of your way to talk to people within the company to understand the culture and to get into it.
Exactly. And when she told me that, I got chills. I'm getting chills right now. I was like, whoa. I was like, this is crazy. She's like, you know, you talked to all these people, like, you had an understanding of the company, whereas these other people who are interviewing, right, they just kind of applied and hope for the best. Right, so you always got to go the next level because it'll make or break you. That's the biggest thing.
Dude, I love it. This is why I wanted you on this episode. This is why you're the perfect person to talk about this, because I understand the struggle that you went through, the rejections, and how basically flipped the switch and went out of your way to make those connections, dude.
That's the biggest thing, is physical connections, man, and just setting yourself up for success, right? Just lay a path down. Just if you got to sit down on a dock and just write out, I have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to get to X, I'm going to do those steps and you'll get there.
I love it. So the thing, guys, what I'm hearing from this is stay organized. One, with all your applications, stay organized.
Yep.
Two, research like crazy. Three, reach out to people, trying to find events, like whatever it may be, like research and preparation is key. But now I want to ask you, tell me about what, okay, now you told me about the whole application process, how you got it, why they chose you, you went out of your way, you made connections. Now tell me, how was it while you're actually an intern, and like obviously like some of the things maybe you did were new, like how were you able to cope with like the challenges and whatnot? Like what are some things that you were like, you know, like talk about your, why you're actually thinking things that you did different.
Yeah, dude. So the internship experience was, I mean, it was a whole experience in itself, right? Like this is a tech company you're at, right? So it's, they, you have a lot of fun, but at the same time, you have to remember, let me not get lost in the fun, because the bigger picture of the internship is I need to go full time. Like, I need to get my offer. So a lot of people might get lost in the fun and they lose their offers. So you have to balance it. So during the internship, and to kind of put it into perspective, and not like me bragging as to like how tough it is, but 100%. Puts it into view as to how hard it is to get into these companies and what you have to do to make sure you do get in. So out of the internship, our first day, they told us number of applicants. I think there was 67,000 applicants globally. And
wow,
out of the 67 globally, there was 150 interns that got selected, about 150. Wow. So you're talking about less than like 2% acceptance rate. So put it into perspective, I'm like, oh shoot, I'm like, I did something for myself that that's not easy to do. So like, you know, plot on my own back, right? Like, you know, I worked hard to get here and that's completely fine. And when I was looking in the room, you had a bunch of smart kids, man. Like, these kids go to Stanford, MIT, like, PhDs. It can get intimidating. And it can be scary, right? I'm coming from St. John's in Queens. It's not the biggest school, right? Not, like, a top-tier school, but it's not a bad school. And I'm like, how did I get here, right? But the reason I got there is because you worked for it, right? You're smart in your own way, and you need to start. I started to realize that throughout my internship. And there were struggles, right? Like, there was new concepts that I had to learn, like modeling on the finance side, just understanding how to do certain projects. Communication is big, right? That was all new for me. And it was my first time doing it. And I also found out that I was the only undergrad, like, finance intern. They usually take MBAs. So I was like, I was like, this is all new for me.
That's big.
I was shook. I was like, oh,
that is
shoot.
Big.
And you start realizing that you could set yourself up to do anything, right? You just need to work towards it. And once you do get in, you'll start realizing like, whoa, I did something pretty big. And what that tells you is like, I can go further, right? You're not going to stop there. I'm going to keep going now. Like, if I know I can do this, what more can I do, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, internship was tough, right? There was projects that I didn't know how to do, but I learned on the way. And you have people who will support you throughout the internship.
100%. And I mean, that's amazing. Like, mashallah, like, you ended up getting the offer. So that's so sick. And you were able to put in the work. Like, like you said, you made relationships. I remember that you had to do some project at the end, and then we made like a little creative video. Remember that?
Go ahead. You can hit on it.
Okay. So basically, I just remember he had to make like a quick video, right? And then we were just saying, like, you guys got to go kind of like outside the, I don't know if anybody else did this, but like, you got to be kind of like, like, you know, set yourself apart, like do something creative, or if they give you like a project, like figure out ways, or like put in extra work, or just kind of like go outside the box. So basically, yeah, tell them what the project, like how we, what did we do, and did anybody else do that? We ended up doing?
No, no one did it, dude. So this was your idea, I remember. So we were sitting, we were in I think we were in the cafeteria area. We were sitting in like
we were eat all the snacks, yeah, bro. Dude. Literally, man, whenever I was hungry, I would hit up some mom, like, bro, please, man, I'm running, I have no food, like, let me get some Twitter snacks, like, bro.
Dude, I remember. I hope
no one from Twitter is listening to this right now, but
dude, people come to Twitter just to eat the food. The food is honestly a big perk of these tech companies, is just like the free stuff.
And we were chilling at nighttime, bro. We were chilling doing work at nighttime, playing ping pong and whatnot, because you had access,
It's
all right, so go for it, my bad. Tell
So as we were sitting in the commons area, and I'm like, yo, I have this, like, I have to do my final presentation, and there's gonna be a bunch of people attending, recruiters, your managers, directors, like all these people attending. And a final presentation in your internship is big because if you're in your junior year, it could mean a full-time offer. They might want to offer your position. So I was like, I need to like do a good presentation. You're like, yo, why don't you do like a video? And I'm like, what do you mean? And you're like, just do something different. And I was like,
yeah,
okay. I was like, how do you want to do like a video? And you did like this, dude, I remember you like sketched it real quick at that moment. We're going to do this scene really quick. And we made it happen, right? It was like a quick, like crazy view of like SF with like a drone footage of SF. Yeah, yeah. You had like these awesome transitions. And I was like, me walking through the doors. Of the
doors, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I used that to open my presentation. And everyone was shook.
So sick.
And so they're sick. Like, who made this? I'm like, I have a buddy like who's God, good
you,
in this.
You should have said you made it, bro. You should have said
credit.
You.
I couldn't take credit. I was like, I have a friend who's like awesome in this stuff. Like, he did this whole thing. He came up with the idea. So they're like, whoa, like, we need him to make videos for us. I'm like, I'll reach out to him.
But, shit, didn't take me for legal, but shoot, get me on the content team, bro.
the product team, the production team.
Yeah.
But no other intern did that, right? It was different. And I'm going to say it again, right? You flip the switch. You're doing something completely different that no other intern did. And they still watch the video to this day. They're like, yo, you still have the video saved? I'm like, yeah, it's at this goal. We have like links at work. They just type in a link and bring them to the video, and they still watch it.
Dude, that is so amazing. So, dude, yeah. So that's like you said, go out of your way. Like, and even if one thing that you said, like all these things that you're gonna be doing within your internship, even though that they're new, like you still found ways to figure it out. You probably asked for help. Like, guys, ask for help 1,000%. Like, a lot of the times when you start an internship, like you don't know what you're doing.
No.
Like, even till this day, let me tell you my experience with my first internship at a law firm. Right, this was last summer, that the one that I ended up getting. Right.
Yeah.
The one that basically changed the trajectory of my life, because my supervisor attorney, he told me to apply to Duke. All this, like, he basically changed the trajectory of where I was headed.
Yeah.
So that's why, it all happened for a reason. And two, bro, this was the first time I was in like an actual law firm internship, and like I was actually like, this dude was literally like the practice of law. Like, I'm just a freaking first year. I just literally
that's scary.
Just did, I barely know. He's making me draft literally motions, which are just court documents, for a procedure. That you send to the court that you're making your argument for. And I'm like, I literally had no idea. Dude, the first day he hands me a client. He's like, draft a blank and blank motion. I'm just thinking to myself, I don't even know what this means. Like, what do you mean by this? Like, dude, and I'm like scared. I'm scared to ask him because, bro, he's like the senior, and he's basically asking me like, yo, you do this, right? So I'm like, I'm supposed to make his life easier, basically. But that was the hardest thing, because I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what one he even asked me.
Yeah.
So first, you got to get help from the juniors, like the ones that have kind of gone through this. So don't be afraid to ask help from them if you're too scared to ask help from the senior. And three, bro, let me tell you, I don't think I've told anybody this. I don't even think my mom knows this. But that first week, because I didn't know how to do it, I didn't know what I was doing. Literally, bro, that first week, or even during the rest of the times when I didn't know what was going on, I literally came in the office at like 6 a.m.
Oh,
when no one
God.
Literally. And that's what I'm saying. I don't tell, like, literally the grind. I haven't told anybody this or shared this story with anybody. But basically, bro, if I don't understand something, I made sure to put in those extra hours, bro. I was in the office at 6 a.m. No one in sight. Everything was dark. The lights are off. The sun is barely up. And I am researching, and I am putting in those extra hours before my attorney comes in, just to have something for him and like figure out, because I know it's going to take me a longer time to understand what's going on, because I don't know what's going on. So I came in 6 a.m. I was trying to understand what does I need to do. I was figuring it out. I was reaching out to people. I was researching. I was Googling, whatever it is, dude. Yeah. I put in that work, extra hours inside the office, outside of the office, because everything was new to me.
Yeah.
So for those people that are listening, if something is new and if you don't know how to do it or whatnot, show them your work ethic. I feel like they literally, like, I left like a crazy impression with them. Like, that guy's my mentor now, and he just wants me to see me succeed in everything that I do. I think it's because, bro, he saw my work ethic that I was putting in. And I don't think, I never told him I came in early, right?
Yeah.
So the person that's usually the front desk of the law firm, like, he usually comes in the earliest. He realized that, dang. So he came in to my
this
office.
Could come in
he,
early.
Yeah, he came into my office. He's like, oh, he's like, nice job, Waji. I see you coming in early. Yeah. I see you came in early. And then I think the attorneys heard that too. So it's like, small, you don't need to show it or tell anybody. You don't need to show it or tell anybody you came in early. Do it for yourself and do it for your own work ethic. And eventually your work ethic will speak for itself.
Exactly.
Dude, even right now at my current internship, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. Like, dude. So I got another shit right now that I'm doing, right? And it's at a law firm. It's at a bigger law firm in LA. I have no idea, bro. This attorney's sending me stuff to like draft agreements and contracts that I've never done it in my life. And I'm usually like, all the other interns are barely putting, like, they're just doing like that 9 to 5.
The bare minimum, right?
But I am literally doing 12-hour days, 12-hour shifts. That's why I've barely been able to post on social media. Like, I kid you not. Like, I've been, even asking my mom, like, she said my face is starting, my face is starting to get pale because of it.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm trying to say. If I don't understand something, I'm going to put in those extra hours to make sure I understand it and to make sure that they see that the work ethic that I'm putting in, because those little things will speak volume, bro. So I'm sure you did that,
too. Of course, dude. That's a big part. I want to ask you a quick question. How is that feeling, like, once you submitted the work and you saw their... I mean, that feeling, I can only imagine, is, like, one of the best feelings.
That feeling is amazing, but you got to realize, like... I'm still, of course, you're going to make mistakes throughout it all. Like, the whole process is a learning process. But at the end of the day, just show them that you're working hard. Like, dude, if that my turn, like, whatever I turn into him, he's like, oh, like, this is not, even if it's not good or whatever, maybe, or it can, obviously, everything needs a little bit of improvement. But he's able to see, like, damn, this guy spent a lot of time on it. I love his work ethic. And this is exactly the type of attitude and character that I want someone to come in. Like, they'll eventually learn the law. They'll eventually learn how to do these things over time with practice, because that's what it is. It's like practice of everything. But I know that this guy has a work ethic to do it. So why not bring him on my team? Because I know eventually he'll learn how to do it. But I love this drive that he has. I love this motivation, that push that he had to come in early and figure things out and put in those extra hours. So, dude, no matter whoever's listening out there, when you start a new internship, like, everything's going to be new. Don't be intimidated. Don't be scared. At the end of the day, put in that work ethic. And even you, like, you were like, had so many people that were like coming from Stanford and PhDs and MBAs, bro. That's crazy.
Dude, you hit on it perfectly, honestly. Is work ethic is so big. Is when you go into an internship, like, even right now, like, honestly, me full time, I transitioned over to a new team within the same, like, finance team.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm doing. And that's okay. You just got to put in the hours, right? So I put in, same thing, I'll put in 12. If I have to work till 2 a.m., I will work till 2 a.m. And 100%. The thing is, like you said, is the work speaks for itself. So like this last couple of weeks, I've been just putting in a lot of hours because we're going through like a busy cycle. And a lot of the stuff that I'm learning is new. I really don't know how to do it. I put in the hours, I put in the work, I asked questions. Do not be afraid to ask questions. The people that are here, as long as you first make an effort, you put in your time to learn it, figure it out. If you still can't figure it out and you put in the time, then you ask a question. And they'll know that you put in the time. They're like, all right, let me help this person out. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with asking questions and getting help.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the work speaks for itself. It's like, I had my manager, he's like, you know, I know you put in a lot of hours. The work is awesome. Like, you're above your level. And I was like, like, this, it all works out at the end, right? You just got to grind.
100%. So guys, so far we've covered the whole application process. Yep. We've covered like how to do these little things, the research, the preparation, how to get your foot in the door. And then obviously while you're there, how to kind of show what your worth is, trying to show your hard work, your work ethic, ask questions. But at the end of the day, don't be timid. Don't be scared. I think that answers all my questions. Do you have anything that you guys want to say, whoever is listening? Like, there's a lot of takeaways to take from this episode, and hopefully that they did.
Yeah.
But if there's anything you want to say to end on one note, what would it be?
Dude, this could probably turn into like multiple episodes. There's just so much you can talk about with this stuff.
We might have to do part two.
Let me know. I mean, I have so much more advice to give. There's just so many routes 100%. You can go. But I'd definitely be down to do a part two if you want. But I was going to say, the last thing I really want to say is, a lot of people are like in our community are like people of color, minorities. They're afraid to like put themselves out. And that was me. Like, I used to be like, I'm not good enough for this. Not even worth applying. Screw it. Like, I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah.
Don't do that. do not do that, because you have your own talent. Like, you're unique in your own way. You just got to figure out how can you express it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And just set up a different path for yourself. So my biggest thing is just apply, reach out to people. Don't be afraid to reach out. Who cares if they don't reply to you? Right. Reach out to someone else. You're bound to get a reply from someone. Continue to just keep pushing to, like, throw yourself out there. Like, even if you're shy, even if it's uncomfortable. I'm a shy person. Networking for me is really hard, but I force myself to do it. Force yourself to do uncomfortable things and you'll succeed. That's my 1,000%
biggest piece of advice. Damn, man. That was honestly, you could not have said it better. That was so beautiful, because we're so scared to put ourselves out there, or to just even like we say, oh, we don't have these credentials. Like, but you said it so beautifully. I don't even want to butcher it. That was amazing. All right, Salman, tell them where can they find you at, your Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is at Salman, @SalmanButt_03. Give me a follow, and if you guys want to reach out with questions, or honestly, if they reach out to you with questions, I'm happy to help anyone, honestly. Like, I think that's the whole point of this is, right? Like, we want to help others find success, and I'll be there to help anyone, mentor anyone, whatever it may be.
I love it, guys. See, this is what we're doing with this podcast, with this series. We're trying to hook you guys up with these advice, and at the same time, trying to give you guys aspirations and people to look up to, like Salman, who will give you advice and give you mentorship. But basically, man, that's all I have. This was amazing. And if, again, I'll have his information in the bio below for those that are watching the video. But that's it for me, man. Dude, I loved it.
I appreciate it. And I just want to give you, you know, shout out to what you're doing right now, this whole, the whole podcast series. I think it's something we need. It's a big thing, and it gets people to come out of their shells and understand, like, oh, these are people in our community who are doing big things. So kudos to you, man. I like what you're doing.
Appreciate you. You're the best first guest to have on this episode. There's so many advice to take from this, and we'll see if there's maybe we'll have a part two with you. And next episode, I think I'll be talking about standardized tests.
Ooh, that's big. That's a whole other story.
So you guys stay tuned for that. But always, man, at the end of the day, everything, no matter what you do in life, at the end of the day, it comes down to flipping that switch, which you did, Salman. So amazing to you, man. Congrats to you, bro.
Appreciate it, dude.
All right, y'all. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Salman. It's been a pleasure. As always, guys, much love. Stay blessed. And always, stay beautiful.